Hello, my name is Susan Piver, and I am delighted to bring you this sixth video in our eight video series, The Noble Eightfold Path. There are a lot of numbers in this talk. The Noble Eightfold Path describes the steps that you can take, I can take, anyone can take to attain liberation and transcend suffering. They are connected to the Four Noble Truths, the very first teachings the Buddha ever gave upon his attainment of enlightenment more than 2,500 years ago. The first noble truth, and I'll just go through them very, very briefly. The very first truth that the Buddha ever elucidated when his community said, well, oh, you're enlightened. What did you see? Number one, life is suffering, which does not mean life sucks. I always want to include that. It doesn't mean life is horrible. In fact, suffering might not even be the best word. The Sanskrit word, or Pali, I'm not quite sure what language it is dukkha, which I've heard is more accurately translated as unsatisfying. Life is unsatisfying, y'all. Although there are truly moments of great satisfaction and joy, what this means is everything changes. No matter what you accomplish, no matter what you get, no matter what you lose, no matter what you plan, no matter what you achieve, it's all going to sort of dissolve. And that is painful. First noble truth. Second noble truth is, well, why do we do that? The second noble truth is called the cause of suffering. And the cause of suffering is grasping, which means pretending that the first noble truth is not true, or basically ignoring it, which I'm very familiar with. And instead, pretending that you can create something solid and lasting and permanent, and lose sight of impermanence, which is very painful to acknowledge, but brings with it the sense of preciousness and joy and truth of what it means to be human and to love. The third noble truth, getting to the good news, is called the cessation of suffering, which means, oh, how do you stop doing that? Well, if grasping causes suffering, just stop doing that. You know, I'm oversimplifying, obviously. But interestingly, the third noble truth doesn't say suffering is the cause of suffering, meaning loss and disappointment and grief. Rather, pretending that the truth isn't true is what causes the real suffering. So that's interesting to me. And then the fourth noble truth is, well, how do you do that? How do you stop grasping? The fourth noble truth is the how, and it is the Noble Eightfold Path. Just do these eight things. So the first, which we began talking about in January, which was either a couple months ago or 5 minutes ago or 16 years ago, depending on how time is passing for you in this lockdown situation or pandemic situation. I hope you are well. We started with right view, which means seeing things clearly, which in some sense is seeing that things are impermanent. That's true. That's the right view. And it doesn't just mean acknowledging it intellectually. It means knowing it through and through. The second step on the Noble Eightfold Path is called right intention, which means now that you know the truth, you got the operating system down, you know how to work with things, and you can intend to whatever you want, particularly to relieve suffering for yourself and others. That intention is much easier to make actionable when you hold the right view. Right view and right intention are a duo within the Eightfold Path under the heading of wisdom. This is real wisdom, beyond knowledge, beyond concept. Then comes right speech, using your words to express right view and right intention, and not just your speech, but all the forms of communication that you use, which means your body language, your vibe, your energy, the way you communicate with others is in line with wisdom, right view and right intention on good days. Then comes right livelihood, like what you do with yourself all day long is in accord with wisdom. Doesn't mean you have to be a saint or an activist, although please, if you are a saint or an activist, I applaud you. It means that how you spend your time making your living or tending to your home or whatever it is you do for work, because we all work, is in accord. Then comes right action, that the decisions you make, the actions you take, the way you move through the world, the way you arrange your home and your relationships, and all of that is in accord. So these three, right speech, right livelihood, and right action come under the heading of morality or ethics or how to be a decent human being. Now we come to the final three, right effort, today's topic, right mindfulness, and right concentration. And these three describe how to work with your mind. Last three, how to be in the world. First two, how to see things clearly and align with wisdom. And now we have to work with our minds, because we may feel like, oh yeah, I love right view, but it slips away and it comes back, and then we get confused and we feel happy and we feel sad, all the things. How we work with our mind is obviously an essential part of the Noble Eightfold Path and contributes perhaps more than anything to relieving suffering for ourselves and others. So the first, right effort. And I gotta say, I think right effort might be my favorite of the Noble Eightfold Path, although they're all pretty awesome. Right effort does not mean you better work harder, because here's what I know about you, even though I don't know you, more than likely. You're working really hard. No question. You're doing the best you can. I'm not saying you're a superhero, although maybe you are. But given the circumstances of your life, the condition of your heart and mind, whatever it is you're carrying from the past and hoping for in the future, you're doing the best you can. You got to know that. Right effort does not mean, oh, well, do better than that. It's sometimes described as right diligence. And diligence and effort are different. Effort has the connotation of, I'm not doing enough. Let me try harder. If you all could see my to-do list, you would be like, that girl's crazy. And yeah, I'm a slave to that list. I hate and love that list. If I could ever accomplish the things on that list, it would be amazing. So I'm not saying, in other words, to myself or to you, put more friggin' things on that list. Diligence, rather, has the sense, and effort here in the sense of diligence, has the sense of no matter what happens, you come back. You try again. You show up for yourself. Very important. You show up for the circumstances of your life, the people in your life, which doesn't mean you're always nice to anyone. Please be nice, but showing up doesn't mean being a babysitter for yourself and others. Showing up means feeling what's real. Sometimes that's beautiful, delightful, transcendent. Sometimes it's hella painful, disappointing, harsh. That's okay. I mean, I'm not saying it's okay that painful things happen. But to show up for yourself and your experience is at the heart of right effort, right diligence. Because if something gets in the way, and that something is not wanting what is to be true. Now, remember, the first noble truth says everything changes. So whatever is true right now is not going to be true forever. That somehow puts some English behind right effort / diligence. I can afford to show up for whatever it is I feel, because it's going to change. Now, I want to make a little side trip to talk about trauma, because that's different. If you struggle with trauma, post-traumatic stress, I do. I'll just be straight up with y'all. I have PTSD. And I can feel it. And it's different than normal suffering. I feel like it's a limbic system event rather than a rational mind event or an emotional event. And my mind, my limbic system doesn't care. My limbic system wants to fight or flee. So I just want to say, if you have PTSD or trauma, chronic or acute, I send you my love. My heart goes out to you on so many levels. And showing up for what is may require the support of therapists, doctors, friends. So please, I was in this Clubhouse room. I'm obsessed with this new social media platform, Clubhouse. There's a lot of talk about meditation on Clubhouse. I love Clubhouse. But I was in a room, which is not really a room, it's just online, where people were talking about meditation, and someone came on and said, this is off topic, I know. Someone came on and said, I really recommend the 10-day silent retreat, a Vipassana retreat, if you have trauma, because if you just sit through the trauma, you know, you can heal yourself. And I wanted to give like a million digital middle fingers. That was really mean of me. But that made me sad and angry, because that's harmful. That's harmful. You can't just sit through trauma. Okay, that's the end of my foray into that topic. But please get any and all the support you can. Usually when we look within and we see something that's happening, a feeling or an idea or whatever it might be, and the next thought is like it or don't like it. And we like it, we want to hold on to it. It's understandable. When we don't like it, we want it to go away. We want to fix it. We think we should not feel that. And then we abandon ourselves. So a great place to start with right effort is not abandoning yourself. And you can begin with what you feel. And if you feel peaceful and happy, fabulous. Of course, it's natural to want to hold on to that. But instead of doing that, you could just feel, what does it feel like to be peaceful? Where is it in my body? How does it change the way I look at my world? How lovely. And then it changes. And what you feel next may be rage. Same thing. What does that feel like? Where is it in my body? How does it change the way I view my environment? Let me sit with that. Now, sitting with a feeling, and I went from one extreme to the other, but including everything in between, doesn't mean analyzing it. It doesn't even mean naming it. And it doesn't mean dissecting it. It literally means feeling it. What is not included is feeling, is the story behind the feeling. That's very important and interesting, perhaps. But the story of the feeling is not the feeling. Whatever we feel, we want to immediately overlay a narrative arc. That's understandable. But right diligence, right effort means hold off on that. And instead, just let yourself feel. Be with yourself and what you feel. And when the story arises, well, it could happen because of this, or 16 years ago, or I like it, or I don't like it, whatever it might be, what do? You set that aside and return to something much more intimate, which is the felt sense of peace or anger or boredom or joy, whatever it might be. How do you know how to do that? You know. We practice doing that in meditation. We sit with ourselves as we are. Things arise in the mind, all the things, no problem. And then you let go. And you come back, in our case, to the breath. That's the object of meditation. And we practice with the breath on the cushion, not so that we can be really good at following the breath in our life, but so that we can be really good with whatever arises in our life, within ourselves. So I've practiced with the breath, 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 distraction, distraction, come back. Then when you're talking to me, when I'm looking in your eyes, when we're having a conversation, I don't put my attention on my breath. I put my attention on you. And because I practiced with this particular object, the breath, I've developed that muscle. And I can pay attention to you. So in some sense, right effort means constantly flexing the muscle of awareness, of concentration, of attention. And when your attention strays from what is real, meaning what is present, you come back. And you can always just come back. You already know how to do this. I hope that's useful. Please don't give up on yourself. Please don't give up on your practice. Please don't give up on your journey. We all have moments or periods of vast exhaustion. It's human, but you can always come back when you're ready. And you will know you're ready when you pay continuous attention to the best of your ability to yourself and what you feel and how you are. So I hope this is useful with all my heart. That's why I'm doing it. And let me know. Please leave comments, stories, notions in comments, because I love to hear from you. And now let's practice. Begin your practice by establishing your posture. The legs can be crossed loosely in front of you, or if you're in a chair, you can sit with your feet flat on the floor, or in some other posture that suits you, that feels comfortable to you. But in all cases, rouse to the best of your ability a sense of uprightness, upliftedness. Sit up straight, to the best of your ability. Let the hands rest on your legs, palms down. Feel rooted in the lower half, planted, and feel light and responsive in the upper half. Let the belly relax. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted, helps the jaw to relax. And please enjoy this opportunity to not have to say anything. It's a luxury and a delight. The breath is natural in and out through the nose, which means you already know how to breathe, so just keep doing that. There's no breathing technique. The eyes are open, and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, whatever feels comfortable, given the distance of your screen. And let the eyes be soft. And rather than seeking through the eyes, let there be a sense of receiving through the eyes. The eyes are open because we're practicing being here, right here, because right here is where we can be awake, compassionate, and present. It's much easier to be here when your eyes are open. You see where you are. Or if you're visually impaired, you hear where you are. Same thing. Let the forehead relax. Let your attention rest on the breath, which does not mean notice the breath. It means feel the breath. Feel the body breathe. Feel the inhale. And really feel the dissolve on the exhale, the letting go, the release. The next inhale. And then release again, flowing with the out-breath. Let your mind be carried by the breath. Your mind will continue to make thoughts. It's fine. It's what it does. Like the eyes see or the ears hear. It's not a problem at all. Most of your thoughts will just come and go on their own. They'll light up and go out like fireflies. And you don't have to do anything. They just come and go on their own. Should you notice that you become absorbed by thought to the point where you are no longer aware of your breath, completely, not aware of it, also very good, because you just woke up within your own mind stream and saw where your attention was. So now you have agency returned to you with awareness. Notice that you're thinking. Label it silently, thinking. Let go. Just let go. Gently come back to the breath and begin again, feeling this inhale and this exhale. So this is our practice, and we'll sit together until you hear the gong. Thank you so much for your practice. It's important. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together. The Open Heart Project is the most wonderful Sangha. And I send you all my love. See you in a few weeks.